if it had struck Tokyo, of course, you know, you would, I mean, this would have been unimaginable. But nevertheless, the this disaster struck in coastal, you know, farming communities and retirement villages, and, you know, where a lot of senior citizens were living. And so, relatively speaking, George, the disaster really affected, yes, these retired people and the elderly who lived in these small villages and small towns along the northeastern coastal areas of Japan. So that's one of the reasons why the I would say that yeah, there were a lot of casualties, especially the elderly people who didn't have much time to escape. But nevertheless, this is a tragedy. But we have to separate three items, George. We're talking about earthquake, and of course the tsunami, which very few people, you know, unexpected in such a big scale. And then, of course, the last one, and it's a very important one, is the current ongoing, you know, nuclear problem. So we're talking about three separate things.
And had the earthquake alone just hit Norio, it probably would not have been nearly as devastating.
Exactly, as George, because in 1995, Japan experienced a major earthquake in Kobe, a large city. That was 1995, and about 7,000 people died. But after 1995, the structural codes were very, very became very stringent, and even residents, residential areas in even northeastern Japan, even small villages and so on, the structures were pretty, you know, were enforced as far as structural codes. So actually, you see in the many videos and photos, some houses were, the roof and the walls were intact, but they just dislocated themselves because of the unprecedented tsunami, and that that's what really did that. So this is definitely a shocking thing. But as I mentioned to you, George, in 1995, the Kobe earthquake took place, but within 5 years from 1995, in other words, the year 2000, one could really can't really tell that Kobe experienced an earthquake. So in 5 years, you know, Kobe, the city of Kobe, completely recovered. You can't
tell. The Japanese people, as you well know, rebuild and rebuild pretty darn fast, don't they?
I believe so. Yes, there's no question about it. And but what we're experiencing right now is the unprecedented nature of this, you know, tsunami, and of course, the more importantly, I think the nuclear problem, nuclear disaster. It's something that nobody has experienced. Nobody has experienced how to handle this situation, and you know, I think the big problem is the lack of communication among the people involved. There's a separation between the government and the private company, the Tokyo Electric Power, and you know, all kind of politics and you know, this saving face and this kind of thing. So we got to separate the people of Japan from the government of Japan. And it's not only Japan, but I'm sure that there's a large nuclear lobby that, you know, is involved in, you know, possibly covering up a lot of these, you know, items in those nuclear plants.
Well, Noria, let me ask you this. You've spent a lot of time in your career investigating UFOs. What's going on in Japan right now since the earthquake? Are there more reports of unusual UFO activity?
No question about it, George. In fact, even before March 11th, there had been a number of people that had taken footages of strange lights, even this January and February, and you know, and then going into March 11th, you know, thousands of people with their cell phones can take pictures, but especially after and on the day of the earthquake, there have been a lot of footages taken by cell phones in Japan that show some interesting, you know, lights moving around and so on. But you know, in fact, yesterday. A volcano in Japan, southern Japan, called Sakurajima, erupted again, and somebody posted a very interesting, you know, photo of some lights, what apparently, you know, at the bottom of this mountain. But you know, some of these images are very, very difficult to really tell what exactly those things are. It could be anything.
But, Nori, we know when the Chernobyl disaster occurred in the former Soviet Union that there were UFO reports all over that Chernobyl site.
Yes.
Are we getting more and more of that in Japan as well?
I think so, too. I think so. If you go to YouTube right now, there are many footages of interesting lights in the you know, Japan, ever since the earthquake. And so this, you know, is something that is very interesting. In times of natural disasters, it's you know, statistically wise, there'll be more people that claim to have seen a lot of things in the atmosphere. So whether or not this necessarily, you know, I don't think we can jump into conclusion and say right away that, you know, these are, you know, aliens in a spacecraft coming here. But it could also be other things. It could be something. It could be something. Something could be manifesting themselves as and waking us up. As we approach, you know, next year, 2012, I think that it's possible that in this universe there are other realities that could be observing us and maybe manifesting themselves to us to learn. And I think this tragedy in Japan is a learning experience, and it happened just, you know, this year, right before 2012. Yes, definitely to the people who were victims of this sad tragedy, it was like an apocalypse, no question about it.
Sure thing.
But I think this is a wake-up call. There's no question, George, that in this world that we really don't know much about, anyway, to begin with, we may be faced with, you know, an encounter with a different force that would like to interact with us and occasionally revealing themselves and materializing themselves, not clearly, but in a fuzzy way.